Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into Chaos Radio. Your host, Jared Oliver. Controversial and committed spiritual for your listening pleasure.
You can try to tell me on the ideas. What you gonna say? What you wanna hear? You might take it back, and I might take it right. You might take it wrong, and I might take it right. And back, relax, you just chill with your bad self. Put your mouth and your pussy back on bottom.
Hey, good evening, everyone. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. We just want to say good evening to everyone. This is D&K Bible Break. And again, we're live. If you're on the internet, www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, or you can easily just dial 845-277-9094. And you'll join in and listen to us as usual every Monday night, D&K Bible Break at 7 p.m. We're going to have a great conversation tonight. It's going to get real deep. I don't know if it's going to go left or right, but it's definitely going to go. I'm going to introduce my lovely wife, Miss Kay. Good evening, Kay.
Evening and happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you too.
You did a little throwback intro today. I haven't heard that one in a while.
Oh, my chaos throwback?
Yeah.
I feel chaos coming all over this one tonight. We talked about this. I believe it was Saturday night, me and my wife, Are You Your Brother's Keeper? And we watched this movie, and I recommend if you like watching movies or have a date night with the wife or just want a good movie to watch, I highly recommend. What's the name of that movie again?
The Devil You Know with Omar.
The Devil You Know. It's a great movie. This is how this conversation got started. And I don't know how to go with it, but it's really deep. Because if we was watching a movie, and it's a good movie because it's not predictable. It's very unpredictable. It's a good movie. And it kind of makes you want to think, are you your brother's keeper? And we was watching the movie, and I don't want to give it away, but there was a brother who was trying to keep his brother out of trouble, ended up, what you want to call it, white snitching?
Yeah.
To keep his brother out of trouble. And tonight we want to talk about that. Are you your brother's keeper? Are you willing to snitch to keep your brother safe? Are you willing to go the extra mile to protect your brother at whatever cost? At whatever cost. Now, in this movie, he was trying to protect his brother, but his brother had lied to him and misled him, but he still tried to protect his brother. And in the very end of the movie, I don't want to give it away, but you have to go watch the movie. But we're going to talk about tonight, are you your brother's keeper? And with that, I just want to go, because I don't like the word snitch. I really don't like that word. I believe that if you have discernment and something is bothering you and something that's sitting well with you, I believe you should let people know what's going on. I don't call it snitching. I call it being concerned, and I call it, you know, looking out for your brother or for your sister. You know, even though you're giving information they may want, may not want to hear, that may cause damage with other people. But if you're really looking out for that person, I really feel, and if you know someone is doing something wrong, and I don't know how you can be a Christian and knowing that people are doing wrong and you not say nothing, because you go, I'm not snitching, I'm not saying nothing, I'm not in it. My name is Bennett and I'm not in it. But how can you, and it's just a question, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but how can you be a child of God knowing something is going to hurt, upset your brother or your sister, and you not say nothing? So with that, I'm going to open it up. Go ahead, wife.
With what you're saying, what I'm going to say in regards to that is the motive behind why you're doing it. So a lot of people put on a front to be this holier-than-thou Christian, and they want to say, oh, I'm telling, so, you know, to protect them or whatever. And is that the real reason why you're doing it, or are you just being messy, or are you just wanting to get the credit or look better than what you are? So I think it depends on the motive. So if you are being led by the Spirit of God, then yes, you follow what the Spirit is telling you to do. Not your emotions, though, because a lot of us are led by emotions, and our emotions will get us in trouble. And just because you say, oh, I think I need to do that, check with the Lord first before you just run off and do things. So I think it has a lot to do with our motives and the reason behind why we're doing something. And that movie that we watched, they ended with the scripture for Cain and Abel. And if you get a chance, go back and read it. It's in Genesis chapter 4, and you can read verses 1 through 13. And that movie ended with the scripture, you know, it says, am I my brother's keeper? And we all know that we've all heard the story of Cain and Abel. And we know that Cain was angry and jealous of his brother Abel, and he killed him. And so when God asked, where is Abel, Cain said he didn't know. And then, you know, asked God, am I my brother's keeper? So God asked him, where was Abel? And then Cain came back and said, am I my brother's keeper? And that's the verse that it gave at the end of the movie. So a lot of the times, just like Cain's motive, angry, jealous. You gotta check motives on why people do what they do. And in that movie, I hear this term dry snitching all the time, and I'm like, what is dry snitching? So I did look it up a little bit. And in the movie, he does. To me, he dry snitches because he offers up information. He don't give no names. He just offers information based off of something that happened in the movie. He told the authorities without giving out too much detail. So it's indirectly, you know, telling secrets. You know, people do that all the time. They indirectly tell other people's business. And when you do that, it's not right. Even though you're saying, oh, I'm doing that because I'm looking out for my brother or my sister. No, you pretty much, you just got to check the motive.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there and just let me say this. Because you're from the hood, and I know what side of town you grew up on. So, yeah, anything that you say to the law or you go tell somebody else is you called a snitch. But just let me say this. In the Bible, it says if you have an odd, if something's going on that's not right, you have to tell it. And if you're telling it to the person that is going to hurt, and when you talk about motives, there's motives for everything. And if you're telling someone, keep them.
Before you go there, if I'm telling the person face-to-face, that's not snitching. I'm telling them about them face-to-face. I'm not snitching. I'm telling them what my problem is with them or where we
but
fell
even
off.
Though,
that's
okay,
it.
Okay.
I'm not going to
but okay, that. But no, I don't consider, see, there we go again. See, people and people from the, see, I grew up in Mineral Ridge. I'm a suburb person tonight. And it's not snitching. If you're going, if someone, if person A tells me something that's going to hurt person B, and I don't feel comfortable with what person A is telling me, and I go tell person C what person A then said to protect them, I'm helping, I'm protecting my brother, I'm protecting my friend or my relative so they don't get hurt. And in saying that, sometimes it do leads to, because when you get information, it can sometimes get messy and other people get involved. Because normally that's what you're doing. But if you're trying to prevent something, you have to say it. Now, you can call it snitching all you want. Y'all can ghetto-fy it all the way up. But I'm talking coming from the house
motive.
Of the Lord.
Depends
okay,
on your
yeah,
motive.
It depends on the motive. Now, you're right.
You can't mix. Okay, so there's two different things you're talking about here. Because one is the way the world does it. And the way the world does it, hey, they going to do what they got to do, and they don't care. Well, I don't know. Most people, they don't care who they hurt. They just going to do what they got to do. Maybe there's a reward for me snitching. I'm going to get my money. That's the world. Okay, so we're talking about the way we're doing it in as believers, not the world, because the world and believers.
Right. Okay, so that's where I'm coming from. I'm not coming from the world angle. But when you say snitch and dry snitch and all of that, that you can't be a snitch. If you are in the house of the Lord and you get information and you know information, the truth will set you free. Now, sometimes the truth will hurt. It goes both ways. You can't, but the motive is, and I'm talking about with a clean motive. I ain't talking about people that's gossiping and trying to cause confusion. I'm talking about people who are trying to protect their family, their church family, is not snitching. Now, you can call it all you want to call it and say what it is, but you have to be man enough, woman enough, and bold enough. If you get information and you know there's going to be a bombshell and you don't say nothing, then to me, do you even have the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide you. And I don't think the Holy Spirit, sometimes you don't want to say nothing. And then sometimes if you don't know, that's fine. And there's some things I don't even want to know because it's going to make me have to say something because I know. But if I don't know, that's one thing. But if I don't know and it comes up and I knew, and why didn't you tell me? Well, I didn't want to get involved. See, no. That's why there's so much corruption because people are not saying nothing. And they use that word snitch all the time. And it's not so much snitching. You have to be man enough or woman enough, if you are and you're mature enough, to be able to know, okay, we got to nip this in the bud before too many people get hurt. Now, we live in a world, you know, stuff happens. People going to get hurt. You just have to be, how do you handle the situation? Now, if you're doing stuff just to be doing stuff and causing confusion, then okay, you know, there's a name for them type of people. But to be honest, and you're trying to live your best life, and you get information, and the information isn't pleasant information, I'm saying 10 out of 10 times the Holy Spirit is going to let me go talk to the individual. This is what's going on.
Okay, so let me just say this. Again, you got to make sure that the Spirit is telling you to do what you do, not your emotions. Because if someone is telling you something in secret and they're trusting you with some information, I don't think it's wise for you just to go tell the other person. The consequences may be worse. So you do have to make sure that you're doing things the way that you're supposed to do it. Because you can you can make the consequences worse by telling what they told you.
Okay, let's just say this.
Every situation is different. You got to make sure it's the right decision.
Right.
You don't have to tell everything. Some things you might have to be like, I'm going to be quiet on that.
Right. And I agree. I mean, I agree with you. That you do. You have to use. You have to use wisdom, and again, the Holy Spirit. Some things are said in confidential that is not required to go back and say. But there are some things that are said that are like bombshells that you just need to, you know, is not right. Now, I'm not talking about having a personal conversation with someone like me and you talking, and I'm telling you this is between me and you, and boom, I got an issue with this. Now, if I have an issue and it's my issue, then, yeah, you keep that private. But if I said something like this, well, I'm coming after you and such and such whole family. I'm going to tear them apart. Okay, well, now you're talking about bringing harm, hurt on other people. That's not confidential. That's not confidential. Confidential is, okay, I got an issue. This is my issue, and it's my issue. My issue don't involve other people. But if I have an issue and I'm going to deal with the issue and I'm telling you, I'm coming after you and everybody on Thursday, on your Thursday night prayer group. I'm coming after all of y'all. If I make that comment towards you, you have to use a wise decision. Do I go talk to such and such about this, or do I just let it go? I didn't already give you a warning what I was going to do. I'm going to hurt, and I'm just using that as an example. And if I put it out there, I'm going to hurt, you have to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. That's not something that's confidential. Confidential is, hey, I have a problem drinking Pepsi. That's between me and you. It ain't hurting nobody but me. Now, you can go blab that all over if you want to. That's confidential. It wasn't hurting nobody but me, and it was between me and you. Now, if I'm telling you I'm going to hurt a whole bunch of people or I have information that's going to bring people down, okay, that's totally different. That's not snitching.
Exactly. So each situation is different. So when you're doing something to protect the innocent, then, yes, you got to protect the innocent. The people, they're innocent. You have to protect them. But there is a lot of people who are...
So let me ask you a quick question.
Hold on. There are a lot of people who are evil. Just like in that movie, there are a lot of people who are evil. And for me to stick my neck out there and protect somebody that's being evil, those are two different things, protecting the evil and protecting the innocent. They're two different things. So, again, what is the reason that I'm doing? Why am I doing this? Why am I feeling that I need to tell that this person is doing this or tell that this person is doing that? If they're doing something evil, then, yes, you're not going to go down and I know about something that you're doing. Of course, I'm going to tell the right people that I need to tell to protect the innocent.
But let me just ask a question. I'm just throwing it up here because now you're confusing me. Because in the movie you said he was snitching and there was an innocent boy who lost his parents. And the man had a conscience. I'm just saying. I'm talking about a movie. But you made the comment. And because you made the comment, I just want to make clarity.
Let me clarify why I made the comment. Because, for one, it seems like he was trying to, you know, when you have a shady past and you want to do something good to clear your conscience or to make you feel better about yourself, so you're going to tell something on somebody else. That's the way I looked at it. I'm like, okay, he ain't have no reason to call and do what he did because he was making the situation worse. He didn't know the full extent of what happened. And when you don't know the full extent, you could be causing more problems, which is what he did. He caused more problems.
I don't know what you watch and what I watch. I don't see how he caused more problems. When he found the solution. See, this is where we differ because the church, and when you see a problem and you address it, and yeah, there's going to be fallout. There's going to be because it's evil. And yeah, if someone is trying to do evil and you're trying to prevent it, more than likely, the dominoes are going to fall. People are going to get hurt. But the thing about it is the when people, we live in a world where people are going to be hurt. People are going to get upset. People are not going to agree with everything that I say. They're not going to agree with everything that you say. But at the end of the day, the truth, this man told, to his knowledge, the truth. And did things get messy? Yes, it did. Did it get a lot worse?
It wasn't the truth.
It was,
that
the thing about it, it was, it wasn't, it
was
wasn't
partial.
The whole truth.
It was partial because he missed out a major piece.
But the bigger piece, it was, you know, this is what I'm saying. You know, sin is sin. There's no great bigger sin, no little sin. The piece that he missed out was he was trying to protect his brother, which is a good thing, but come to find out that his brother was altogether wrong. He was wrong.
Right.
His brother was wrong. So the thing about this is this. If I see my brother and he's wrong, I have to tell him, you're wrong. It's not right. It is wrong. And
tell
see, this
your
is
brother.
Because there's these codes we fold.
Tell your
thing
brother.
About
that's
it,
the
tell your brother. And what happened when he told his brother?
Because his brother was a liar. That's what happened.
Well, what happened?
He was a liar.
What happened to the man that tried to protect him and tried to uphold, do the right thing? What happened to him? Now, if he wouldn't have started this, this thing could have got worse and worse and worse. But because he did, yeah, it got bad, and things are going to get ugly. But the thing about it is, if you know you're dealing with some people that got some issues, and you know it, it's different than dealing with people who you don't think that has no issues. It's two different things. Because if you don't see it coming, they'll wipe you out. But if you know it's coming, you can kind of prepare yourself. And, yeah, it's going to hurt. You can prepare yourself, and it's going to hurt. But when the truth comes out and you try to live your life by it, see, this is what goes on in the church. You try to live your life a certain way, and what happens is you have to make a decision. Now, you can either do the man code and do the bro code, which does not work. It does not help. And you will find yourself in a messed up situation. Or you can do the right thing, tell the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, when you get set free, it may hurt. You may get some bumps and bruises. It's like that throughout the Bible. When you tell the truth, there's going to be consequences. But at the same time, you can stand and look everywhere. I can stand and look everybody in the face. Because I'm gonna, if it's going to affect me and my relationship with the Lord, I'm telling. Period.
Okay,
there is
so
no bro code. I'm telling.
Okay, so I think in some cases, there is a story in the Bible, Joshua 2, and it's with Rahab. Everybody know Rahab the prostitute, and she hid the spies. So when they were looking for the spies, she did not tell their whereabouts. She did not snitch on them. She hid them. So I think sometimes you have to do things a certain way, and you have to follow the spirit. So had she ratted them out, had she been a snitch and told on them, the situation would have been different. So I don't think you should tell everything every time. You have to take it on a case-by-case basis. You can't say, I'm going to tell, because you got to assess the situation and see if that's what you need to do. And, again, you got to make sure you're not going by your emotions.
See, I've learned not to go by my emotions, because my emotions, to be honest with you, just, you know, I ain't saying a word to nobody. You know, let the chips fall where they may. But again, that's just Derek speaking. Now, the Derek with the Holy Ghost and Derek that has discernment, it tells me to do something totally different. I don't want to be in nobody's business. I don't want to be talking about
nothing. That's not a blanket situation, though. That's not, you can't say that blanket. That's not like end all, be all, and that's the way it goes. It should be on a case-by-case basis because people, people have to trust you. Well, can I trust you with what I'm saying, or are you going to go tell somebody every time I say something that you think is right?
We have to put it out there. If someone tells me something as an elder that's between me and that person, and it's just between me and that person, it has nothing to do with nobody else, yes, I'm good with it. Well, what I mean by that, if it's no physically harm, there's no, it's just a conversation, yeah, you keep that personal. You don't go blabbing everybody. You don't do that. I agree with you there. You don't do that. But now we're talking about something totally different. And like the movie, it affected the family. I'm not talking about one-on-one, a situation when you're talking one person to another person and it's that type of situation. Like I told you before, if I tell you I got an issue with Pepsis and sneakers and all this type of stuff, that's me telling you what I got a problem with. That's not for me to go blabber to everybody else because that's a personal issue. But when your personal issue has effects on other people that can hurt them, then yet you have to say something. And again, it's not a blanket statement. I'm talking about if someone is saying that they're going to come over to our house and they're going to do this, separate our house, okay, it's time for, okay, well, where you hear this from? It's time to go do some checking because our house is about to be divided. It ain't got nothing to do with your personal issues or my personal issues. It has something to do with your house. And I hope y'all understand what I'm saying when I say this, the house. So we're talking about the house. Can you snitch on the house? No, you can't snitch. You're trying to protect it. You're going to do all you can to protect your house. When you yell about the electric bills and all this and we hear about light bill high, the first thing we do is cut the lights off. It's not snitching. We got to turn that light off. Tell this person, keep the stuff. It's because you're trying to protect your house. You're trying to keep the cost low. It ain't got nothing to do with what such and such did outside the house or what's going on next door. It has nothing to do with it. But when someone tries to come in your house and disrupt it, oh, you need to talk. Because, yeah, people are going to get hurt. People are going to say, well, you shouldn't have said it. Well, okay, well, leave the house alone. Don't talk about the house. You understand what I'm saying? Am I making myself clear? I hope I'm making myself clear because I don't call that snitching. I call that protecting your house, your home. And what that got to do with the church? It has a lot to do with the church because when you go to church, when you go to church, that's like heaven. That's your spiritual. That you don't want nothing to separate you. You don't want nothing to get in part of your praise. You don't want nothing to get into your worship. You don't want nothing. That's your home because that's the ticket. And there's more to it than that, but that's your ticket to getting to heaven. You don't want drama in your house. You don't want corruption in your house. You don't want it. It ain't got nothing to do with what I'm doing, who I'm talking to. When you go to your home, you want to be able to worship. You want to be able to do what you have to do. But what happens is, and I'm glad we called it, are you your brother's keeper? Are you your brother's keeper? Or are you going to be like stabbing them in the back, stealing from them, robbing them, hurting them? And then there's so many people that got church hurt because of what we're talking about now, because then no one say nothing, because then no one want to talk about it. They want to be cowards. I'm not snitching. I ain't saying nothing. So don't let them get said. oh, I didn't want to say nothing because I didn't want to get involved, and now I'm known as a snitch. Well, okay. Well, these people didn't got hurt because you didn't say nothing. And because you didn't say nothing, these people that got hurt and hurt somebody else because you didn't say nothing to, that could have prevented them from hurting somebody else. And now they didn't hurt somebody else. It goes on. So the cycle has to stop. So if you want to say snitching, I call it ministry. And what a lot of people are not capable of doing is ministry in their own home or in their church because they want to stab people in the back. Ministry starts at home. When you can minister to somebody and talk to someone and tell them the truth, okay, it may hurt. You know how many times over the last few months I heard the truth that hurt me, but it ended up helping me. It didn't make me bitter. It didn't make me angry. At the moment I was angry, I didn't want to hear it, but when you hear it, the truth will set you free. Now, compared to not hearing the truth, now you hear a bunch of gossip, you don't know what to believe, then you want to go off. Then you get an attitude, and then like you said, motive, now you're cut up in your feelings, not in the spirit, because now you're in your feelings because you can't see the spirit because you too emotional to see it because you ain't heard the truth. All you heard was somebody did this, somebody did that. You heard it. You don't know it. So when I say, are you your brother's keeper, you have to keep your brother. You have to uphold your brother, even if it hurts telling them the truth. That's just my opinion. Y'all don't have to like it. You don't have to abide by it, but that's how I roll. Confident, I'm the most, got a lot of stuff I don't say. But now, because I'm in a different level, I'm in a different place, and again, I thank you, wife, for helping me with my fasting. Evangelist Stanton, y'all have been grateful. But since I've been fasting more, learning more, my mouth is wide. I'm not shutting up. Shut up for what? For who? That's what the devil wants. And when you say snitching, I'm not talking about you, wife. I'm just saying in general, snitching is like a bad word because I'm in the hood. Okay, well, be in the hood. See if being hood ways get you to heaven. And, yeah, sometimes you keep your mouth closed. You ain't supposed to tell everything you hear. Something, that's part of ministry. Being quiet about this, being quiet about that. But there's sometimes you have to minister in uncomfortable situations, period. That's how you can separate the men from the boys, the women from the girls, because you got to know how to deal with hard stuff. And when you deal with it, yeah, some people are going to get mad. Some people ain't going to like me because they think I snitch. I'm working on a lesson coming up. I was called something on the email, and it's cool that I thought it was funny, but, you know, I'm 50 years old. I'm nobody's boy. You know, I have two grown sons. I'm nobody's boy. I'm a grown man, and I want to be treated like a grown man. So if you have an issue with me, you should be able to talk to me like a grown man. I'm nobody's boy. I don't report to nobody but the Lord. But the Lord will have me say stuff to people to protect not just them, but my own family. Because if anyone come up in this house, it's my job to protect them. When I go to my church home, I have to protect my family. I can't have nonsense because it'll rub off on you. It'll rub off on some other people who ain't got nothing to do with it. So, yeah, sometimes you have to address things, and sometimes, yeah, it's going to get – church ain't a place where you're not going to get dirty. Church is not a place where you're not going to get no splinters. Ain't going to be no bloodshed. There's going to be some crying. You're going to have some bad days. It's not because you bad people. It's just because who we serve and whom we serve in and how we serve. But the key word is serve. And if you're serving the Lord, you already know what's going to happen. It happened throughout the whole Bible. It happened with the disciples. It happened with Peter. Peter denied him. Don't forget, Peter denied him. But it was also Peter who led, 5,000 got saved? because the anointing was on Peter. Even though he messed up, the truth was still in Peter. Even though other people that were around, there was other disciples there. Peter's was just public when he denied him. But when Jesus was on the cross, everybody left him. Peter was just man enough and bold enough to say, I won't leave you, but he denied him. Now, I know, I don't know. That's what Peter did. So when you really think about the situation, we all going to fall short sometime. It's not called snitching. It's just like I said before. It's protecting your house. And sometimes you don't say something. Sometimes you say something. I feel like I'm talking a lot, so go ahead, wife. I'm going to take a break for a minute.
I was just going to go into, like, what a keeper is. A keeper is someone with good qualities who you can have a long relationship with. You know, sometimes we say, oh, that's a keeper, or he's a keeper, or, you know, we use that word keeper. And it's, you know, somebody that you care for, you look out for them, you want the best for them. It's also somebody that can, you know, can hold you accountable in certain situations. And to be each other's keeper, you know, to be responsible for their actions, behaviors, or, you know, even their whereabouts at times, to be their keeper. And it's not only just for close relatives, it's also for friends. Not so much, it doesn't have to be like literally your brother or sister. It could just be your brother or sister in Christ. So I know there's a scripture that says, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, our well-being is tied to the well-being of others. So when I do good, you know, or if I do wrong, you know, that could trickle down to somebody else. And if I do well, that could trickle down to someone else. So everything that we do, there is a trickle-down effect, whether it's good or if it's bad. That's what I believe. And with Cain and Abel, that was a bad situation with him taking his brother's life. And when I said about snitching, again, as a believer, I'm not going to use the word snitch. I mean, that's just something that, you know, in the world, that's a, you know, snitching, wet snitch, dry snitch, you know, that's just something that the world says. As a believer, I'm not going to be calling nobody a snitch, because either you're going to be looking out for somebody for their good, and again, like I said, to protect the innocent. I was looking at earlier in the book of Esther, if you want to look at chapter 2, it's where Mordecai, he informed the king of a plot to assassinate him. So I'm not going to say Mordecai snitched, but Mordecai told what was about to take place in order to protect the king, and he was rewarded for that. So, again, a lot of the times we have to do things based off of the right thing. So not only with Mordecai doing what he did to protect the king, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, a little bit after that, I can't think of who it was, but the guy who was gonna who wanted really pretty much take out Mordecai ended up coming back on him. If you go in there and read Esther, it came back on him. So he called himself snitching on Mordecai or telling something Mordecai did, and it came back on him. So you got to be careful with how you put things out there, because you don't want it to come back on you. Make sure you're doing things decently and in order to protect the innocent. And protecting the innocent, sometimes you do have to conceal information. Everything does not need to be told. So you have to make sure that you're following the Spirit and letting the Lord tell you when to speak up about a situation and when to fall back. That's all I wanted to say. You got to make sure that the Spirit is telling you to either say A or B, or sometimes the Lord may be saying, don't say nothing right now. This is not the right time. And you have to make sure that you're doing things, not because you want to be the first person to tell it, or not because you're like, oh, I know, I already knew all that, and you want to go tell somebody about a situation. Make sure you're doing it for the right.
And I agree with that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, motive is everything. But I'm just going to assume. I'm just going to assume and give everyone a pass that we try to do things decent and in order, and without having that motive of being messy. But we do know, you know, we live in 2022. I've been in church pretty much all my life. And there's one thing I know church mess. And it wherever church you go to, you're not exempt. It gets messy. It's a mess, period. So when I say what I'm saying, I'm speaking from experience of growing up as a little boy in the church, used to sit in counseling sessions with my father and just hear how men and women, grown and young, can just be messy. And the thing about it that's so sad, even more today than it was back then, is that you have a lot of people, because the harvest is ripe for people and souls to be saved. And if we don't catch it at the right time, they can get so hung up in this mess that we, the church, then create it. And now I'm just using this for an example because this has nothing to do with me and my wife, but I'm feuding with my wife. She's feuding with me. She's saying this. I'm saying that. She's talking about going across town. I'm talking about going around the corner. She got her crew. I got my crew. And in the midst of all of this, you have young souls who see this, hear this. And yet, because we use the word snitch in the church, what about these souls? Who's responsible for that? I'm just asking a question. I'm just asking a question. What about the souls that's in the church? And when you say, and I'm not saying everything should be presented out there. I'm just saying, keep it real. Let's keep it 100. You and I both know there's stuff that goes on that shouldn't go on. And I know
okay,
sometimes you tell me, well, why I got to get involved. That's what you'll say to me, why you got to get involved. First of all, because of my call to the Lord. Second of all, because there's people who don't need to hear this. There's people who don't need to know about this. And in order to put a stop to it, and it's like this. It's like the church has become like a parent who don't want to whoop their child, who don't want to call out sin, who don't want to call out you wrong. We don't want none of that. Because if we tell somebody you wrong, or you say you're not acting right, then they're going to have an attitude and have a hissy fit and talk all about you. But when you call out sin, when you call it out, you wrong, you ain't acting in the spirit, you acting with feelings, you're doing stuff that's not of God, because there's no secrets in God's house. Now, you can move. God will tell you to do something, don't share with everybody. Yes, he does that. I agree with that. But you're not going to do things to disrupt your house. You're not going to do it. And that's all what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
Okay, so there is, I was trying to get the scripture because I'd like to make sure I'm coming from the right place. So if you, let me see, it looks like it is in John chapter 8. Verses 1 through 11. This is the story about the woman caught in adultery, right? So in that story, the guys come out. I don't know their titles off the top of my head, but they come out and they're snitching on this woman caught in adultery. And well, I don't even use the word snitching. They're telling on this woman caught in adultery. Okay, they didn't bring the man out. They just, you know, they're telling because they wanted to see how the Lord was going to react. And he said, you know, he who's without sin cast the first stone. And they, one by one, they start dipping out. So they dipped out, and, you know, the Lord asked her, was anybody left? So a lot of the times we do have to check our motives. Just like those guys, there was a reason why they were telling on this young lady or old lady. I don't know what she was, but there was a reason why they were telling. So just because you're in church and you're telling things or you're sharing information, again, we have to check our hearts and we have to check our motives. Just because you think, okay, we're gonna get her in check because of what she did, you know, it didn't turn out well for them. So you gotta watch again. I'm just saying, make sure you're doing things following the Spirit. Because just because you at church and you in church and you stand stuff and you think you're doing it the way it should be done, make sure you're checking with the Lord. Because we can get ourselves in trouble as well.
So let me ask a question, because I understand what you're saying. And I agree with what you're saying, because like I said before in the very beginning, motives. Because some people want to just start some stuff and their motives are wrong, and I get that and I understand that, and I can't think of the word I want to use for them type of people, but yet there is, but there's another side of that when people who take their salvation seriously. And I'm not saying, and I know I'm gonna get in trouble for saying that.
I'm gonna hope.
But when you go places, and you go to your church, it's like going when you go to your doctor, and you go see your doctor. At least this is how I go when I see my doctor. When I go see my doctor, and I went to the doctor last week, my doctor read my numbers. He said you're good. He's telling me everything that I wanted to hear. He even said he was going to make a donation to Extended Arms. But my doctor isn't my friend. My doctor's telling me this stuff. I'm not questioning him. I'm not asking for a second opinion, because that's my doctor. He jokes with me sometimes. My doctor, in his doctor's office, I'm just going to share this real quick. There's a big cooler of refreshments. You can go get you a Coca-Cola, a Sprite, a bottle of water. Get you anything you want to get out of there to drink. Now, I'm a diabetic. I can't have none of that stuff. But I go get one anyway because it's free, and I just like to take it because it's free. And he'll say, you don't need that. Why do you have it? So I ask him, why do y'all have it out there in your office for us to take? And he said, that's a good question. No one ever asked that, but I'm going to tell you why. We get that stuff free because really people want you not to get healed. They want you to remain so you can keep coming back, keep getting it. Hopefully you get addicted to it and you go home and buy it. This is what the doctor told me. So what I'm saying is sometimes you go to church, everyone sitting in the seat ain't a believer. Everyone ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. They're just there to distract other people. And what I'm saying is this, until we start calling them out and saying what they are and calling it what it is, call me a snitch all day. But if you a bump on a log, I'm going to call you a bump on a log. There ain't nothing dry snitching about that. If you hear causing confusion for everyone else to have to clean up your mess and we know it's about to happen, I'm going to say something. Now, everything ain't supposed to be everything ain't supposed to be brought out, and I understand that. And I'm not saying you bring out everything, but if I can bring out some of the stuff, I can withheld some of the stuff. So with that being said, I don't know, what did you, just text me something?
No. I didn't text you anything.
You didn't text me anything? You have to say it like that. You got attitude with me? So I didn't text you anything.
No,
you could have been a little more.
I'm not texting.
I'm
just
saying. I'm sorry.
I'm not texting you.
Okay. All right. My bad. Okay, my bad. You know, you got to say, I got a lot of emails and texts coming in and everything. But anyway, I thought that was from you, my bad. But mm-hmm. We can't get distracted by the stuff that's there. And like a lot of churches don't say anything about it. They let it go on and on and on. I'm not playing church no more. I'm 50 years old. I've been seeing the same stuff go on. It's time to call a spade a spade. Call it out. What am I scared of? I've been ripping in the church almost 50 years. Since I've been an adolescent, since I've been doing church, and stuff just happened, you just see it. I ain't a prophet. I ain't predicting anything, but when you see something so many times and you know it's coming, I'm not supposed to say nothing? I'm just supposed to be quiet? And now I got to check my motive. I ain't bothering nobody. But I got to check my motive. Everyone will question all of his motive. What was his motive for saying that? First of all, you about to cause a whole lot of hell and innocent people about it. And then as an elder, because I take the title that I was ordained and called by the Lord, I take that seriously. I don't want to have to deal with people about church hurt. Because people are too immature to be men and women enough of God to say whatever on their mind and keep it moving. That's all what I'm saying. It's not that hard. And we're not willing.
Well,
so it's not snitching.
Well,
it's
exactly.
Not dry
we're
snitching,
not,
wet snitching, or whatever
worldly.
Word you want to say, put in there
we're
for
not
it. What it is.
We're
What's
not
that?
Supposed to be worldly. We're not supposed to be worldly, but we have let a lot of things that the world do creep up in the church. So it's a lot of
right.
things going on in the church that the Spirit of God ain't got nothing to do with it.
And see, so let me ask you a question real quick. So why is it? I'm going to ask you, Kay, because everyone respect you and your opinion instead of me just being a hothead running off at the mouth. Well, how do you address the stuff that then crept up in the church that ain't supposed to be there? We just supposed to leave it there? How are we supposed to get rid of it?
Okay, again, it depends on the situation. So there's a lot of stuff going on in church. So each situation, you have people that are involved in different situations. The best thing to do is go to, if it's an individual, you address that individual, squash it, keep it moving. You have to go to the head. You have to go to the individual. If it's something that's involving multiple people, okay, then personally I think that needs to have some type of a group meeting, and there needs to be a mediator or something where everybody is, you know, giving their points and how they feel. So
see, right there,
right there.
Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. See, that's the problem. Because when it comes time to right or wrong, if it's wrong, there don't need to be no meeting. It don't need to be no here's this, that, or the other. If you're wrong, it's like kids. If your kid is wrong, what are they talking for?
Hold on, but everybody may not feel that they're wrong. So until they may need to hear somebody else's
point of view. Hold
on.
If they're not wrong.
Hold on. They may need to hear somebody else's take on it to see, okay, maybe I was wrong. Maybe they're not seeing it that way. So that's why, just because you say it's A don't mean it's A. It could be B, because everybody's raised different. Everybody has different points of views. So, yeah, you have to address the situation or you're going to continue to have mess. And if you got person A telling person B, telling person C, that's a big pot of mess. Everybody telling their little points of views. It's a mess. Get to the root of it and cut it off at the root.
So that's all. That's what you just said right there. That sums it
up. But you
gotta
have a conversation about it. You gotta talk about it. If everybody,
let me say this. Now this is where we're gonna disagree, and people gonna get mad at what I'm about to say to you. As my wife, I love you very much, but I'm about to say this. I'm not conversating over no mess. I'm going to get someone to clean it up. There's not going to be no conversation over it because mess stinks. And there's no place in the church for no mess. And if you bring in mess into the church, and again, I'm talking about people who are supposed to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, bringing mess. If I was to go to church and bring some mess in the church, if I bring some mess home, let's not even go to the church. You gonna tell me
to get
out the house?
Well, how you operate in the spirit? How you operate in the spirit and you got mess?
That's my
whole
point. So why discuss it?
But you're not operating in the spirit if you're talking about mess.
What I'm saying is, you know, just as well as I know, there's no perfect church. There's mess in every church. I'm not having a conversation about no mess. When every week the word goes out over the pulpit to clean the mess up, that's like the Orkin people come spray your lawn. The word of God sprays the, and the mess pulls the lead. Now, if we're going to sit around and have a conversation about some mess. No, just hear me out. Just hear me out. If we have a conversation about some mess, when you have a conversation, it's a two-way street. That means I'm giving you an opportunity to tell me about your mess. And when you're telling me about your mess, that stuff is coming. No, that the devil is a lie. I'm not having no conversation. What we're going to do is we're going to take care of it from the pulpit and from teaching. I'm not having a conversation about mess. Because if I want to be messy, I can be messy, and then we're going to have a conversation about it. No. God, don't do that to the Lord. Don't do that to the Lord.
Let me say this based off of what, because you're talking about not having a conversation. The problem is that people are not having conversations. They just running their mouth. If people would just stop running their mouth about this situation here and this situation there, go to the root and talk to the root of the problem and stop being on group conversations and group messages and three-way calls and whatever else. Get to the root of the problem. If everybody on the line is not the person that the situation is with, then y'all need to be talking about it. That's called gossiping.
So I just said the same thing you said. I'm not going to sit around and have a conversation about something. I like that tone in your voice. I like the tone in your voice. If you just lean a little over to my right, you'll be all right. You lean a little bit over here to the right, we'll be good to go. But what you're saying is true, and I'm not disputing what you're saying. The only thing that I'm disputing is the people in the church that are serving the Lord, we don't have time to conversate over mess, because there's too many souls out there. The harvest is right now. And if me and you gonna sit, and I'm just using me and you as an example, if me and you gonna discuss mess, we then took the focus off everything that the Lord didn't put in front of us, because we're talking about mess. We're talking about mess, so we can't concentrate on D&K. We're talking about mess. We can't concentrate on Standard Arms. We're talking about mess. We can't concentrate because we got all this mess around us. And the thing about the mess, it ain't even a distraction. Mess is caused to stop you from doing what the Lord wants you to do. So if we want to have a conversation, the conversation ought to come over what came over the pulpit yesterday. What came over the pulpit yesterday is the harvest is right, and people need, and when I say this, this is what I got out of the message yesterday from the First Lady, that people are bleeding internally, and they need a blood transfusion. And we know what the blood is capable of doing, but because we so corrupt on the inside, and I learned this from dealing with my mom, and you know this, my mom bleeds internally. And when you bleed eternally, you can't tell you're losing blood, but it's not, you can't see it. It's something internal. The church is bleeding internally, and it needs a blood transfusion. And when it gets a blood, that's what needs to be. It's no conversation. And that's the only thing I'm telling you. There's no conversation need to be had with nobody, because then you're wasting time. And that's what the devil wants you to do, is waste your time and conversate and meet. I'm not meeting with nobody about no mess. I'm telling you that now. Now, you would caught me last year, I would have met with you, and we would have discussed it, and we would have prayed about it. But no, too much word goes out every week, after week, after week. And if you're not being convicted, and all you're doing is causing more mess, at some point, we're going to have to address the mess. I didn't say conversate, address it and call it out for what it is. And I'm not talking about new people to come to church. I'm talking about people who've been in church for a long period of time. Now, if you really want to go there, if you really want to go there, let's keep pushing the envelope. Because in a minute, I'm going to start saying some stuff that's truth. And the truth will have a lot of people's feelings hurt. Now, you can call me dry snitching in a minute, but let's push the envelope. We're not talking about meth. I don't want people coming over my house talking about meth. I don't want people calling my phone talking about meth. It's not for me. It's not for me. It stinks, it's nasty, and it's not right. And we need to have people to have a blood transfusion. We're talking about the blood. There's power in the blood. And rededicate. And then we can talk about what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. People get attitude with me. They call me and tell me, I don't like what you said. That's okay. Well, all right. That's your prerogative. You don't have to call every Monday night. And if you won't, I'll put it out there. I talked to the bishop. Well, you ain't got to listen to me preach. Because where I'm coming from a place that the Lord tells me what to say and how to say it. And he didn't say, Derek, be nice. He didn't say, Derek, compromise. He didn't say, Derek, have a conversation about some mess. No, because he gave me the power and the authority to loose it, to bind it, and to get it out. Ain't no conversation. And if you don't like that, you take that up with the Lord, because the Lord has given us the power and the authority. And if I got the power and the authority, I'm going to use it, not to have a conversation. Now, my motive is to protect me and what the Lord put me to serve. And there's a lot of things in the Bible where we had to go fight. And when we went to fight, we had to use our sword. And ain't no way you have to be nice. So I'm just saying that. So if you want to have a conversation, I tell you and the ladies, y'all go have some tea, coffee, and y'all have a conversation about the mess and tell me how it sounds.
It don't even be the ladies. It don't even be the ladies. Let's
saying,
keep it
I'm
real.
Just saying,
it don't even
I'm
be the ladies.
Just saying, I'm just saying. Let me finish my statement. Let me finish my statement.
Put on the ladies.
Let me finish my statement. No, you got a lot of bass in your voice tonight. Okay, let me make my statement, because you're taking it like I'm being. I'm saying, for women, if that's what y'all do. I'm
amen.
A man.
Amen.
Ain't no conversation.
Men
ain't no
do
conversation.
That.
You know
it's
men.
It's a lot of messy men. It's a lot of messy men. So come on.
Well,
don't
first
just
of all,
say
let me
women.
Say this. Hold up. Let's rephrase that. There's a lot of messy males. Don't call them men, call them males. And I don't have a problem with that, because you're right. You're 100% right. There's probably more messy males than there are females. I will agree with you 100% on that, too. And I have a couple other churches listening tonight, because, you know, I do mentor some elders and everything like that. But I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to be done talking, wife. I didn't realize we was over. Well, we ain't really over our time, but. I'm going to say something, and this is I'm going to have a Mac move, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to be done. But if you really, really, really are serving the Lord and you're really doing what God has called you to do, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And I've been watching it happen, and my wife is a witness. The more I serve the Lord and I go out and pass out food, or I go out, fellowship, or whatever I'm doing, if I'm serving the Lord, you want me to tell you how I get benefited? For some reason, and I could be wrong, but it seems like it turns my wife on, because she is the nicest of the nicest of the nicest when I'm serving the Lord.
Wow.
When I'm serving the Lord, she's just, what you need? What do you want? It is a difference. It is a difference. So, men, well, let me tell you something. If you're serving the Lord, I'm telling you, it will have an effect with your personal life, with the person. It does something to the person that you're connected with when you're serving the Lord. and you're doing it the right way. I'm not going to do this and cheat what the Lord has already shown me. And I'm not going to sit here and have tea parties with people over mess, because that's not right. Now, if I'm serving the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve him in truth. And I'm going to serve him, keeping my eyes on him. And then everything else will fall into place. But when stuff starts, it all starts with the way you serve. And I can't be having meetings upon meetings about the way I serve the Lord. First of all, I ain't got enough time in a day to do that. Second of all, there's other people who need that attention. But if you're not serving, you wouldn't know that. If you're not serving, you think you got time to call the pastor and want to talk about this and talk about, and it really ain't talking about nothing. It's wasting time. Stressing folks out. I'm not going to get stressed out dealing with church folks, dealing with mess, because they want to talk about mess. Now, y'all can take it either way you want to take it. That's what it is. And like I was telling a group of elders the other day, they asked a question. And I really can't answer the question right now because it's too personal. But they wanted to ask a question because we're on the platform and people watch what we do. And for everyone that prays time, people watch what goes on. They see who's in the house and who's not in the house. So when you ask the question or start complaining, before you start complaining and want to talk about mess, are you in the house, is the question. And I say that in all honesty. All honesty. Me and the pastor went out. My wife was out of town. We went out passing out food. My wife kept calling me, and then she going to tell me she bought me dinner. And not that you don't always buy me dinner or always doing something, but it's a difference when you're serving the Lord. It's different. It's a different animal. It's a different beast. And females, at least I'm speaking for my wife, when you serve the Lord, it takes everything up 10 levels. I can't have a problem. I can't do no wrong if I'm serving the Lord. If you think I preach so hard, that's part of the perks of me preaching hard. You think the bishop just yelling and screaming just to be yelling and screaming? There's benefits to come behind that. But do you think I'm going to take my time and talk about some mess? And then my wife be looking at me like, what's wrong with you? And she has said that plenty of days. Why you seem so stressed? And just like any good wife, leave that mess alone. That's what she would say. Leave that mess alone. But because of my relationship with the Lord and because of my walk with the Lord and because of the way I serve the Lord, I don't take anything lightly. But I'm not going to deal with no mess. And if something comes across the table, I will deal with it. You ain't got to worry about me being quiet no more or wondering my place anymore, because my place is the Spirit of the Lord. I'm nobody's boy. And just for someone that said that, I'm nobody's boy. I'm a grown man with credentials. I wrote 2 books, so I am an author. I do have a degree, a couple of them. So I'm well qualified, but that's not what qualifies me. What qualifies me is the scars that I got. I've been healed. And I'm not talking about making this thing a Derek thing, but I'm just saying I am qualified to say what I say and do what I do. And if we have to check some Negroes, then we will check them. But we're not going to discuss no mess. And if I need to be checked, that's what I got a pastor for. He will tell me, Oliver, you're wrong. And I won't say a word. I go somewhere, repent, ask the Lord to show me, and keep it moving. But if I'm right, the Lord is going to tell me, well, Oliver, you well within your right. Start talking. And I'm like, Lord, you sure? You can't talk too much. Start talking.
Am I my brother's keeper?
I got a question for you, wife.
Are you?
Who watches? I got a question. Now, this is coming from my engineer out of Cleveland, Ohio. He watches all the shows. He and the first lady said something, and he thought about it for a minute. So I'm going to ask you a question. And then I'm going to ask the question next week. And this isn't about – this is about men. This is about grown men. This is about the leaders of the church. Leaders of the church. And I'm just going to ask the question because he's asking me the question. And the question is, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to turn it over to you while you dismiss us. But this question is kind of an embarrassment to me. But this man has been with me since 2010, and he has a question. He don't ask too many questions. He has a lot of jokes. But he asked a question, and he asked a question because a comment that was made that I was the only elder in church on yesterday. I never thought nothing about it, never said nothing about it. And he wants to know, how is that, Oliver? That's what he said. How is that you're the only one? And in parentheses, he's joking, wanting to know what did I do to the rest of them. But that's just a joke between me and him. But the question is a question that if someone that don't even know one person that goes to that church to ask that question, Mark, well, yeah, am I my brother's keeper? Ain't nobody else. Who else is going to do it? I'm not going to stab him in the back. I ain't going to kill him. But where's everybody else at? That's a shout out to all the men. Where's everybody else at? I know there's Minister Tober. He rides out. He's going to be there regardless with his family, holding his kids like he do every Sunday. But when you start asking these questions about when we started a couple of years ago, I ain't talking about you now. I'm talking about the men. Where's everybody else at? It's just a question. If a stranger from Cleveland, Ohio, who comes on every Tuesday, every Sunday, every time we ball talk is open, and he asks the question, a stranger, well, no, asking me, what am I supposed to say? Well, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. What am I supposed to say? It's a question. People think we on Blog Talk and we go on Facebook and people not watching what we do, watching what we say. But yet, if we start talking the truth, and I start telling the truth about where everybody is saying this or saying that, then now I'm snitching, or I ain't saying it right, or I'm telling too much information. No, I'm not going to say what I really want to say because I think we may have some people, you know, this may get one of them shows we may need to do after 9 o'clock to make it, you know, PG-13 or R-rated, because what I want to say ain't going to be pleasant. It will be the truth, but it's not pleasant. I ain't calling no one out because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But it is what it is. But this is what I like about chaos. It's what I like because we can talk about things. And if I'm wrong, I can be corrected. But also it's true. It's real. It's in real life. It's in real time. And I'm saying that because my wife and I have grown so much over the last 2.5 years. We have more things that we are involved in, helping. And it's from the leadership that we've been up under. And someone said, well, you know, you're the pastor's boy. And I resent that because I'm not a boy. I'm nobody. I'm the only boy I am is Geneva Oliver's son, and I'm a son. I'm not a boy. I'm a grown man. And for someone to say that, and y'all don't think I got ears to hear it, I will address it. Pastor got 4 sons, and he called them his sons. He don't call boys. I'm nobody's boy. I have two grown sons. And if you ain't seen a picture of them, they're very big. And be called a boy? Nah, we don't play that. But I will say this. That is my pastor. Just like my doctor. He tell me, you need to go left, go right. That's what I'm going to do. I don't have an opinion because I'm not the pastor. I don't want to be the pastor. I'm not trying to be a pastor.
All right.
I'm just trying to make it to heaven.
Can I go? Can I finish my statement? Yes, I am, because I was saying something and you cut me off, and you've been talking for the last 15 minutes and I couldn't get out what I wanted to say. So can I say what I wanted to say?
You can close this out. I'm done. I'm done talking. Go ahead.
I was asking a question. Am I my brother's keeper? Are you your brother's keeper? That statement made by Cain, am I my brother's keeper, it symbolizes people's unwillingness to accept responsibility for the welfare of their fellow men. And just like Cain, we say, they're not my problem. And a lot of us say, they're not my problem. But as children of God, we are our brother's keeper. And it's important that we uphold what the Bible says and what the Bible tells us to do on how to treat people. So we are all our brother's keeper. It's all of our responsibilities to look out for one another. Everybody needs to be looking out for one another. It's not a one-man show. It's everybody. If you love your fellow believer, you should be looking out for them. You should want the best for them. And it shouldn't be a one-man show. It's not about one person. It's about everybody. So we all need to play our part, and we all need to do what the Lord is telling us to do at the places where we worship, in our households, in the grocery store. Everywhere we go, we should be a light of Christ, and people should be able to see that. So we are our brother's keeper. Don't be like Cain and come back with the question, am I my brother's keeper? Because the answer is yes. We are all our brother's keeper. That's all I wanted to say. And I pray that somebody got something from what we said on tonight. I know we were off, a little off topic, and we were, you know, in our own little worlds here and there, but I pray that, you know, you got something out of it. Did you want to give the schedule for the week? Mister.
Yeah, I'm also going to say we were a little off. We wasn't nowhere off. We were where the Lord wanted us to be. We're not going to apologize for where we go.
Lord,
you know, the Lord takes us places.
Lord. Okay,
we go. We go.
Saying,
we're going right there.
We were talking
you know,
about
we're not apologizing.
Keeper, and we went other. We were talking about being. Anyway, go ahead. Get a schedule. You
like to, you know, you like to play that, you know. I'm not in this for the ratings. I know people love to hear you talk and you calm me down and everything, but we're not apologizing for the word of God. And however people know me, I go, if I got to go, I'm going to go.
Nothing. Nobody said I'm sorry about nothing, but stick to where we are. Just do the.
We have tomorrow night, we have Bible study at 7 p.m., same phone number, same phone number, same online, www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, 845-277-9094 is the phone number. On Tuesday night, we have Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Please join us. You're going to have a great word on tomorrow night. On Wednesday, you have Bishop Omar, Zachary, and family. They will be live on Facebook Live. And on Blog Talk Radio, you'll get a live word, live praise and worship, the whole deal on Wednesday night, 7 p.m., right here. Also, we have on Sunday mornings, Praise Tabernacle Church. We'll be live 9 a.m. We'll be live this Sunday. So join us for Praise and Worship Sunday morning service. We also will be having Wednesday night service. The pastor and the family will be doing this for as long as they can until they have to get back into their schedules. So get them while they're hot on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Right here on Blog Talk. And if you can't get Facebook, call the number. You'll be able to listen to the broadcast. Or if you have Facebook, go to Praise Tabernacle Church, and they'll be right there on Facebook as well. Also, you know, I was going to take next Monday off, but we're going to be on and live remote. We're going to be in a remote location next week, and we will be live talking more about what we talked about today. It's just time for us to man up and time for the women to women up, you know, and do what the Lord has called us to do and stop playing church. That's just my call. That's what we're going to talk about next week. And again, I know we went a little long today, but hey, it be like that sometime. So it is what it is. Again, me and my wife want to thank everyone for supporting us on every Monday night. We appreciate you, and we just ask that you continue to pray for us as we continue to go to a different level. We just ask that you continue to be with us. For everyone at Praise Tabernacle that's listening, let's keep the bishop in prayer. Let's keep all the elders and the deacons in prayer. Let's just keep everyone in prayer for one another. With that being said, this is it. We're out. We're done. And I apologize if we went 21 minutes over, but it's all good. It's all good. My wife just wanted to go watch 911, so she's trying to get me off the phone. 911
ain't even on tonight, so you got jokes. Oh. It's not even on. Not on.
We could have went another 9 minutes. All right. Good night, everyone. We'll see y'all next Monday. Be here tomorrow night. Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, 7 p.m. See you tomorrow night.
All right. Good night, everyone.